welcome you back to the show. I will elaborate on why that is appropriate bumper music. Good to have you along. We're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Man, tomorrow night, prime time, Packers, Niners, trip to the Final Four on the line. A lot of great storylines. Let's jump in with the host of the 49ers Cutback Podcast on the Outstanding Believe Network. On Twitter, use at 49ers Cutback. We are joined by Ant Robertson. Great having you. So how is life down there in Lodi, California?
It's pretty good. You know, as soon as you started playing that, I picked up on it real quick. That was nice. Well done.
Yeah, especially somebody my age. I was like, I heard Lodi. I was like, all right, I got to pull some credence here. There was no way around it. So as a first-time guest, a little background. See, like, for example, I'm from North Jersey. I became an NFL fan in the late 60s. My first memories are with the Niners were with John Brody and Dave Wilcox. So for you, where do you hail from? And as an NFL fan, I guess, kind of what generation, the players and the teams that first grabbed you?
Yeah, I'm in Lodi, California, nestled nice in the valley between Sacramento and Stockton. Pretty close to the Bay Area, so, you know, been able to make my way out there and watch a lot of games throughout my lifetime. But I became a 49er fan in the 80s, so the gold standard time of NFL football, 49ers, you know, team of the 80s. So I grew up watching Montana, you know, and Jerry Rice and Tom Rathman and those great teams led by Bill Walsh. And I think it was early on, it was kind of put in me by my family. Everyone's a 49er fan, and we've all just kind of went that direction. And through life, I became more and more just into 49ers football, and it's been a lot of fun. But, yeah, the glory days for me, so I got to witness most of the championships. Did not witness 81 live. I was not alive then. But shortly after, I remember all of them that happened.
Yeah, that's a tough one. No question about it. Before we get into the analysis, I just want to tap into the fan, I guess, in all of us. I mean, primetime, Packers, Niners, the team of the 60s, team of the 80s, conference title on the line. Just how sweet is this from like 50 different angles?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. You look at the Packers organization, it's so rich in history, and then the 49ers rich in history as well. So anytime that these two teams play, you start getting all the memories of the 1990s with Mike Holmgren bringing his team in. Then you get the nostalgia of, you know, Brett Favre, you know, and that team. And then the 49ers kind of turning it around since, you know, 2011 and winning four straight against Aaron Rodgers. You just have these teams matching up so much, the rich history between the two organizations. It doesn't get much better than this for the NFL. And for 49er fans, it brings up great memories. It brings up some not-so-great memories. But in the long run, these are the kind of matchups you're looking for. 49ers Green Bay, 49ers Cowboys. That's exactly what 49ers fans love to see.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm a Giants fan. You're a Cowboys, a Niners fan. We could always unite in our contempt for the Dallas Cowboys. Talking with Ant Robertson, 49ers Cutback Podcast. You know, sometimes you get a surprise, the Texans, you know, the Packers. But if let's say you and I had a conversation after Labor Day prior to the opener, you know, the thought of San Francisco being the one seed hosting the divisional round. I mean, while you don't want to take it for granted, this was kind of the expectation that this team would be right here, right now, contending for everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this team has been the front runner. I think last year with the way things ended in Philadelphia with Brock Purdy getting hurt, it really just left everyone with a bad taste in their mouth, because I honestly believe this 49ers team has thought that they are the best team for a couple of years. And whether that was an injury to Jimmy Garoppolo in 2021 or Brock Purdy going down in the NFC Championship game last year, they felt like they haven't had the real opportunity to get that big win. And so they came in highly motivated. It's a great organization. Kyle Shanahan has really done a great job. And John Lynch has brought in the playmakers that you have to have. This is a top-to-bottom, really good football team. I think it would have been more of a shock if they weren't the number one seed, if they weren't hosting the playoff game, than anything else. So I think that right now they've kind of reached status quo. But the way that things are done in San Francisco, especially recently, you have to go to the NFC Championship game and you need to get to the Super Bowl. 49ers have been to four of the last five. If they get there this year, they got to get it done.
Well, I want to get to Brock Purdy because, you know, when you think of him going from Brock who to the guy at the helm of a Final Four run, you know, that was 13 months ago, and he looked great, but he only made five starts. You know, I don't have to tell you, they traded Trey Lance, they let Jimmy G walk to the Raiders, and they made this big commitment. But from your chair, how has Purdy handled kind of that burden of being the number one guy on a team with big expectations and cranking out a Pro Bowl performance?
It's really interesting how much this has been unfazable for him. I mean, he just does not shake in stressful moments. And you would think a guy that young in this situation that there would be a lot of pressure on him. But he really just withstands it. He's got such a calmness about him. He's approached every single angle of the situation the right way. He's a very humble person. He's a good teammate. And the fact that he goes out there and he always just puts his best foot forward and he puts the team first in the way that he thinks, I think that the team has really rallied behind him. And what you see is a guy that becomes unflappable. Even when he had such a bad game against the Baltimore Ravens, he just took it on the chin and he moved forward and he didn't let that one bad performance define who he is as a quarterback. And I think along the way, he's really found who he is and as a quarterback and within the system. And I think he's very comfortable with who he is as an individual. And I think that is why he's so steadfast and so unflappable, even in the most pressure situations.
You know, another big difference from last year is the defensive coordinator was DeMeco Ryans, who's now the Houston head coach. Enter Steve Wilks, who got the Carolina gig last year when David Tepper canned his coach. So, I mean, this is a guy, Wilks, in the past 5 years, he'd been with the Browns, Cardinals, Missouri in the SEC. What about the job he's done kind of taking the reins and keeping the defense at, you know, a pretty elite level?
Yeah, he's fantastic. I think Steve Wilks' ability to kind of manipulate what he has to do in his mind to fit what the 49ers want. I mean, when they hired him, it was the full intention that he was coming in and he was going to run the same system that the 49ers run. They were going to allow him to put in some wrinkles, but he was the one that had the onus on him to learn everything new. He had to learn their system, their terminology. He had to engage with their personnel, and he's been really, really good. I think that there were a couple moments during the season where he was trying to find his way, but ever since the bye week, he has gotten it figured out. He is a fantastic coach. He's a really good individual, a leader of men. I think it's just inevitable that he's going to end up being a head coach. He's just that kind of guy. But, yeah, he's been just a huge addition for the 49ers. If you had to go outside the organization for one coach, I'm glad it was Steve Wilks. He's done a fantastic job.
Talking Niners football, Ant Robertson of the 49ers Cutback podcast on the Believe Network. Well, since we're on the Oregon Duck flagship station, I got to ask about the Amador Lenoir. I mean, here's a guy who a year ago capitalized on opportunity when Emmanuel Mosley tore his ACL. Now he plays opposite a Pro Bowler in Charvarius Ward. How would you evaluate his play this year as a first-time starter?
He's brilliant. I mean, D'Amador Lenoir has been a big reason why the 49ers defense has been able to play at the level they play. Because not only does he play opposite of Charvarius Ward, but when they go to their nickel package, he plays the nickel corner position. And the fact that he's able to play outside and the responsibilities that he has out there, but also to go inside and play nickel and have the ability to not just play against some really good pass catchers who have a lot of space going against him there, but to also be able to help in the run game because he has to act like a third linebacker in those sets. He has just been great. He's got the nickname the Hyena for a reason, and he just flies around and makes plays. D'Amador Lenoir is a key cog of this 49ers defense. He doesn't get the recognition he deserves because the national media doesn't see it, but the job that he's played and the role that he's played within this organization, I guarantee that the 49ers brass understand how important he is to this team, and they're going to want to keep him around for a long time. D'Amador Lenoir is a star. People just don't know it yet.
Well, you're preaching to the choir up here, so well done. On the other side, obviously, they got to protect Purdy, open running lanes for Christian Mack. And, of course, the health of their all-world tackle, Trent Williams, has been key. They got Colton McKivitz, a first-time starter opposite him. Jake Brendel, the center, became a first-year starter last year, late in his career. Both the guards are drafted, Banks, Burford, 2021-22. I just was curious, what about the job they've done building this line and how they've performed this season?
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, they really have built it through the draft. You know, they lost some key starters. Mike McGlinchey moved on in free agency a couple years ago. They lost Lakin Tomlinson, and they were able to go out and get Aaron Banks in the second round and Spencer Burford in the fourth round and put those guys in the middle. And then you had offensive line coach Chris Foerster had a relationship with Jake Brendel when they were in Miami. So he brought him here. He knew his skill set, and they were able to develop him. And now they've got that interior offensive line playing pretty well. They do have weaknesses here and there, but I mean, for the most part, they've really held up. They're good in the run game. They're good at getting to the second level and making key blocks for this team and allowing McCaffrey to get going. But also what they do really well is they just stay together. They play together. They've only given up 28 sacks this season of Brock Purdy, and that's really good. And you mentioned Trent Williams and Colton McKivitz, and we just got to give credit for how those guys have handled it. Trent Williams is the best offensive tackle in the league. He may be the best offensive tackle I've ever seen play, and I know that's saying a lot because I've seen really good players, but he's just so good. So, yeah, the way they built the team is unique, the way they built that offensive line, but it's working, and I think Kyle Shanahan and offensive line coach Chris Foerster are getting the most out of their players.
And the last thing I want to get to is something you talked about on the podcast. Packers right now are kind of an X factor, the youngest team that ever made the playoffs, and they demolished Dallas last week. I mean, are you guys viewing them as a live underdog? I heard what you talked about, that sleazy idiot Mark Chmura saying it's worth a worth a penalty to cheap shot Purdy. So what's the level of caution here about the danger the Packers truly present?
I think you have to give them all the respect in the world. I mean, they walked into Dallas and they really dominated a good football team. And whether, you know, they're as good as that or not, you just have to give them the ultimate respect. You look at the playmakers that they do have, and they have a lot of playmakers on offense. Aaron Jones is a very respectable running back. He's very good, well-balanced. And then Jordan Love is coming on. I think when it comes down to it, you respect the team when you're going into these games. You definitely can't take anything for granted. You know, as a 49er, you know, through the years, there's been games that haven't went your way. So I think the team is going to respect everyone they go against and give respect to Green Bay. But ultimately, the 49ers know if they execute at the level that they're capable of executing, the Green Bay Packers aren't a good enough football team to beat them. And I think that they're going to respect them, but they're going to go in there and they're going to handle their business. And that's ultimately what you want. And, yeah, I mean, guys like Mark Schumer are going to say things, you know, about injuring Brock Purdy and things like that. You just can't let that get into your head as a player. You remember those things. You chalk it up, and then you go out there and you execute, because the ultimate way you answer those things is winning on the field, and I think that's what the 49ers are going to do.
Yeah, just when you had completely forgotten about Chmura, he's like, oh, don't forget about me. I'm a complete idiot. But anyway, he's Anthony Robertson, hosts a great podcast on the terrific Believe Network. Check it out. His Twitter handle is at 49ers Cutback. The Pack and the Niners stage is set. Ant, greatly appreciate your time, your insight. Be well. Enjoy the game, and look forward to talking again down the road.
All right, thanks so much, Steve. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right, have a good one. There you go. Talking Niners, getting ready for